Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times, together. WBEZ's parent company, Chicago Public Media, and the Sun-Times announced last night that they've signed a non-binding letter of intent to explore becoming one organization to, quote, grow and strengthen local journalism in Chicago, end quote. Though it still needs to be finalized, pending a, quote, period of due diligence, the arrangement would result in one of the largest nonprofit news outlets in the nation. As part of the announcement, we also learned that Matt Moog, our interim CEO since last October, has been named WBEZ's permanent CEO. As you might imagine, we at WBEZ have lots of questions. So we figured, who better than Matt to ask about all of this? And though most of us at WBEZ first learned of the talks when media columnist Robert Feeder broke the news in recent hours, Matt knows an effort such as this did not start yesterday.
So we've been talking for a couple of months and under a non-disclosure, as you normally do in these
situations. Whose idea was this?
Michael Sachs, who is sort of oversees the Chicago Sun-Times, really wants to see journalism thrive in Chicago. And he came to us and talked to us about ways that we could potentially partner. And the more we talked and explored the opportunity, the more we thought a combination made sense.
Why do you feel that now is the time for this, for WBEZ and the Sun-Times to come together as a single news organization?
Yeah, it's a really important question. Local journalism just across the country is in really a state of disinvestment. And it's hurting democracy when you don't have that kind of accountability journalism there. And Chicago in particular, as the third largest city in the country, has declining investment in local journalism. And we feel like as a public media organization, we want to serve as many people in the Chicago region as possible. We want our journalism to be comprehensive, deep, and cover as many topics as possible. And this combination allows us to both reach 2 million people a week, one out of five Chicagoans, with our existing broadcast and print and digital distribution points, but we'll also double the size of the newsroom to 175 people.
Chicago Public Media's board of directors approved this acquisition at last night's meeting. Is this essentially a done deal at this point?
No, what they approved last night was what's called a non-binding letter of intent. And that's where we just hammered out some of the basic terms. But the next step for us is to spend the next 2 or 3 months working through the legal and financial diligence. And also, honestly, talking to each of our respective staffs, getting their input and their ideas and their concerns so that we really do this in a thoughtful way and a way that will ultimately benefit the community.
You may not have these details yet, Matt, but I do want to know what this could look like on the ground. I think that's what's on our minds, especially here in-house. Do sometimes journalists move into the WBEZ newsroom, or I'm thinking about when a reporter is in the field and they're talking to a source. Do they say, I'm with WBEZ Sun-Times? Like, how does this look when these two organizations work together?
Sure. It's a good question. The operational decisions like that, we're really relying on the input and feedback and ideas and, frankly, expertise of the two staffs to talk about ways to best work together. Each WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times serve a distinct audience with a distinct value proposition. And we want to make sure that this is additive and that both our incredible journalists and larger staffs see this as an opportunity for them to reach more of the community and to grow in their careers as they're able to collaborate with a larger combined news organization.
So tell me explicitly what you think WBEZ gains from this. And on the flip side, what the Sun-Times gains from this?
Yeah, I think it's a really great question. The most important thing to me is that we're able to reach more Chicagoans with high-quality, independent, fact-based journalism. And both organizations have some really incredible, dedicated journalists and are doing amazing work. And one of the most important things here is I want more people to see it and read it and appreciate it. And if ultimately that helps them inform the public and helps with understanding and tells stories that aren't necessarily being told in other ways, then that would be a huge win for us.
You've mentioned our reach a couple of times. How many people is WBEZ reaching right now?
So the BEZ broadcast reaches about 550,000 people a week. And we have a really loyal and engaged audience. They listen almost every day. But the digital side of things, where people are checking on their mobile phones and websites and smart speakers, we do have a good audience there, but we would like to have a much larger one. And the Chicago Sun-Times has a very significant digital presence with millions and millions of people consuming their content there. And we really see opportunities to cross-promote the great content that we're each doing on different platforms.
So you say that the two brands then, BEZ and the Sun-Times, they would continue to essentially serve their own audiences.
Yes.
What does that mean exactly?
It means that if you are a Sun-Times reader of the paper, if you go to the website, that you'll continue to do that. And the same journalists and the same content that you're used to seeing will be there. And the same is if you're a loyal, lifelong WBEZ listener. All of the great things that you love about public radio will continue to be there. And what I'm committed to and our whole team here is committed to do is make sure that we are bringing in resources to help both organizations really do more of the great public service journalism that they're known for.
Will the paper continue to be printed?
For sure. We see a huge opportunity to expand it, honestly, and to engage more readers in that experience.
That is Chicago Public Media CEO Matt Moog. Last night, we learned more details about a possible merger of WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times. Now, our radio station and the newspaper might actually become a single nonprofit news organization. Talks are underway, though a deal has not yet been finalized. Matt, most newspapers, let's be real, they aren't the money-making operations that they once were. So in order for this to work financially, would the Sun-Times need to become a digital-only publication?
Well, so first of all, there's a couple of things here. One is local journalism across the country is looking for new funding models. And there's hundreds of organizations that have found ways of developing relationships with donors and foundations, as well as developing membership programs, which are all things that we know very well as an organization and help fund us today. And we will bring, we expect to bring some of that to our relationship with the Chicago Sun-Times. Another major trend, though, is the trend towards digital subscriptions. I wouldn't say digital only, though. I think digital subscriptions are an excellent complement to the printed paper. In our household, we receive the Sun-Times and consume it every day and talk about it and share it. And I know many, many households around Chicago do the same. And we look forward to helping to improve and expand that.
The paper currently has a paywall, though. And at an all-staff meeting that we had with you this morning, you wouldn't categorically rule out paywalls if this acquisition does go through. Why not?
Well, one of the foundational principles of public media is that the content that we produce is available to everybody. Another foundational principle is that we rely on our readers and listeners for support. So we're going to look to keep those as consistent as possible. Most organizations, news organizations in other cities do have a paywall. And what that usually means is that 95% of the people who visit the website never hit the paywall and don't pay anything. And about 5% ultimately do hit a paywall. Because we are public media, we're public service journalism, we are not commercially motivated. There's no for-profit motivation here at all. We will look to make the product available to anybody who can't afford it. We would be able to explore the viability of more of a membership model where it is 100% free. But there are other examples across public media where there are cases where a content is charged for in limited cases. And we're going to do everything we can to make it widely accessible to as many people as possible.
My colleagues and I are also naturally concerned about job security.
Yeah.
What can you say about that on both sides, for both organizations?
Yeah, it's of paramount importance to us that both organizations see this as an investment and growth opportunity. This is not a normal corporate merger that's premised on cost cutting. This is the coming together of two storied news organizations that serve the public in a really important way. And we plan on bringing funds to bear to allow us to continue to grow and to invest. There are no plans, categorically no plans, for layoffs.
As we mentioned, the Sun-Times would become a subsidiary of Chicago Public Media with this arrangement. What would the management structure of the joint organization look like? Are we talking a single editor overseeing both news operations, eventually one newsroom?
Those kinds of operational details have not been worked out. Nakia Wright, who's the CEO of the Chicago Sun-Times, would join the executive team of Chicago Public Media and be a part of setting the larger strategic direction and making sure that we had received input and feedback from a broad range of the staff in different functions.
What debt or other financial obligations is the Sun-Times carrying? And would Chicago Public Media inherit that?
So I'm not at liberty to disclose any of that kind of information on their behalf, for sure. But what I can say is that when the management team here and the board reviewed this opportunity, high on our priority list was financial sustainability and the ability to continue to grow. And so we've done some very significant analysis in that regards, and we are very, very confident that this we will remain healthy and growing as an organization.
This, of course, wouldn't be the first nonprofit organization to operate a newspaper. A big example is the Philadelphia Inquirer, which is owned by the nonprofit Lenfest Institute of Journalism. And you've been taking notes from the head of Lenfest, Jim Friedlich. He's been advising you and the CPM board on this proposed deal. What have you learned from your conversations with him?
Well, Jim Friedlich has been really helpful, and he's brought to bear other people at the Lenfest Institute who have pretty deep experience in other newspapers around the country. And we all share a commitment and a passion for journalism and for the prospect of public service nonprofit journalism. So we owe them a debt of gratitude for their advice. They've actually written a book called Table Stakes in concert with the Knight Foundation, which is also another major foundation that supports journalism, that helps to basically lay out a path toward becoming a more digitally oriented news organization. We know that the vast majority of our audience, their first place they go for news are digital platforms. And us as a broadcast organization, the Sun-Times as a print newspaper, we both need to rise to the occasion of meeting audiences there. And the Table Stakes book is it's a bit wonky, but in our field, it's a really helpful playbook to inform how we evolve.
I got to get back to the other news from last night, and that's the fact that you're our new CEO. When you started as interim CEO last year, you said that you wanted to be just that, interim. It's what I heard when I first got on board as well. Matt's not staying, right? What changed?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And the intention when I started was that we would see our way through most of the pandemic, and we would get to the end of the summer and launch a new search. When this opportunity came up, it really became clear that this moment, this sort of transformational moment in time, was a particularly good fit for my own experience as a technology entrepreneur to lead the organization through this and do something really significant for the community and for the two organizations. And that was something that was, for me, was really hard to pass up. Just that opportunity to make an impact and a difference for Chicago.
Why are you the right person to lead us through this acquisition and beyond?
Sure. Well, a big part of this is digital transformation, and that's an area where I have 25 years of experience as a technology entrepreneur. But an important part of it is just news organizations need to be open and transparent and listen to feedback, even when things don't go perfectly, and that we have done that over the last year and will continue to do that. So that's an important part of it. And another element here is making sure that we have funding. So we will be out talking to foundations and donors and others and making appeals to make sure that we can invest and grow and aspire to even greater heights and serve Chicago every day with the essential and trusted news that we want to provide.
Some staff members have raised concerns about a lack of diversity, equity, and inclusion, thinking in the board, you know, simply naming you the CEO, right? What's your response to that?
So we are 100% committed to our diversity, equity, and inclusion action plan that our DEI council had defined several months ago. There's over 40 different initiatives that we're executing against. I do recognize that I'm not a diverse CEO, and it's a privilege for me to be here. And my main focus is wanting to help the organization grow and succeed and become sustainable and serve the community.
Before I let you go, Matt, once again, just remind us of the timeline here for further talks with the Sun-Times.
Sure. Yeah, we'll continue the talks and expect to then ideally close this by the end of the year.
That is Chicago Public Media CEO Matt Moog. Matt, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Sasha.
Well, that's it for today's Reset. For more of our interviews, subscribe to this podcast. And please give us a rating. It helps other listeners find us. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again tomorrow.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.